There, Father, we're so thankful for your presence here with us this day as we gather in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the songs we could sing that encourage us and for the prayers that have been lifted up, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints, Lord, and just to see Christ in one another, the changes you've made in our lives. And we just pray that your word this day would continue to do that, to just grow us up to be more like Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you're powerful. You can do that. And our confidence is in you. Just have your way in the message today, Lord, and in our hearts may we receive what you have for us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, we've come to the end of a year. Another year. Who'd have thought we'd have made it? So we just keep thinking the Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to come. But we're still here. But we look back over the year. We tend to do that at the end of the year. We look back and think of all the things that have happened in this previous year and, you know, the successes we've had in our lives and maybe the failures and the victories that we've been able to take. There's been, you know, we're encouraged all the time, you know, when we have something in our life that shouldn't be there, maybe a bitterness or an envy or a critical nature or something. The Lord can give us a victory over these things, and that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. So we rejoice in that. And just to think back and how we've grown in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the messages have been brought forth, the things about the Lord, his grace, his mercy, and to grow up into him, to know him more like that. And then there's things that we think of that have occurred in our lives naturally. And, you know, there's been several that have had illnesses or afflictions and surgeries. There's been healings too. Praise the Lord. There's been some new babies born in our midst. And I was actually blessed to become a grandfather for the second time with a little girl named Harlow. That was a sweet blessing, and got to go out in California and see her. Happy little girl. And there's been other memorable things going on, whether it's maybe a notable birthday or an anniversary. Think about, there's been graduations. We've got to celebrate many of those that had graduated. And there's been weddings, too. And another thing that I was blessed with, my son Kenan got married to Alicia this year. And what a rejoicing that is, and the two being together. And then there's also been some homegoings. And the most recent I think of is our dear brother Ken, our sweet elder, that went to be with the Lord here recently. And, I miss the guy. he played the organ, which was precious to listen to him play the organ. But I'll tell you, for me, I miss the encouragement he gave me personally. He would, once in a while, he'd send me a text or something with some scriptures and just encourage me how much the Lord loves me and how much he cares for me, how much my life matters to the Lord. And like on a Sunday morning, I'd get in here early and Ken would come by and he'd say, "Brother, you were on my heart. I was praying for you this morning." And that means a lot to me when someone says they're praying for me. And I miss that. I miss that, dear brother. But, you know, you kind of can envy him. You know, his race is finished. His battle's done. I believe, is going to have that crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to give him. You know, he's full overcomer. And so I can envy him a little bit that way. But, you know, sometimes people will say, I even heard this in movies, you've heard it, that, you know, well, he's in a better place. And, you know, well, but actually, Paul said that. Paul said he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which wasn't just better, it was far better. We're talking far better. So you can say that, you know, if you know someone like Ken, you can say he's in a far better place. And we're going to get to see him again. Hallelujah. So other things we think of as we look back over the year, some of the events in the world, you know, there's been some pretty notable natural occurrences that have come through and we see them on the news. And, you know, to me, it's an encouragement that the Lord's coming soon, because this world's just groaning. It's got events going on that are being more intense and more frequent. And it's just the birth pangs of this earth that there's going to be a birth come about soon. But the Lord's coming. We need to be encouraged that way. But, you know, we don't want to get entangled, though, with the affairs of this world, because we're not from here. We're not from here. So let's turn out to Philippians chapter 3. I know you've been waiting for the scripture. That's probably the longest I've talked without quoting a verse. But anyway, Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, that is our citizenship. We're citizens of heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been, I think, the theme of things this morning, isn't it? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we're citizens of heaven. We're just passing through here. We don't want to get entangled with the things of this life. We can look at things going around. We're not living under a rock that we don't are not aware of things, but we see them, but we know that we're just passing through. This is not our final home. And some of the things, though, too, that happened in the year that has happened to me, and I'm sure many of you, is this past year, is that the Lord has brought a burden on your life. And it can be a number of things. It could be something in your own life that's got you a burden on you, and it could be something in someone else's life, a loved one. And these things can weigh us down. There's in 2 Corinthians 3:4 says that we that are in this tabernacle, this tent, this earth suit, we groan, being burdened. And I'll tell you, these burdens can, you can feel, I feel it just, it's like a pressure on my chest, just like, it's a real physical thing, but it's something that can happen. And again, it can be for a loved one that, I know many of us in the prayer request, they pray for loved ones, relatives that aren't even saved. And that's a burden. And we lift that up to the Lord, but it's also still something we carry, because the Bible says, you know, bear one another's burdens. And we do, and we love those that we know. We want them to be saved. We want them to go on. And there could be those loved ones of ours that are saved, but they're really not going on fervently with the things of God. As our dear brother Scott always prays, that there'd be an urgency in lives for the things of God. And that's like, you know, you talk to someone and they've got a list. Well, yeah, the things of God are on my list. You know, that's part of the things I want to do. Well, the urgency means top priority. It needs to be the top of the list. The things of the Lord. It needs to be number one. In fact, if you have nothing else on your list but that, that's okay. Just put the Lord first, because anything else that needs to be done in his life, he'll take care of it, as long as you put him first. And I can testify to that in my life, and many of us can, that when you've got all these things to do and there's no time for it and the world gets busier and busier and you're just like, what? I can't do all these things. Well, you put the Lord first, and the things that need to get done will get done. And he'll amaze you how fast he can get things done in your life. Things that you never could imagine getting done so quickly, the Lord will do it if it needs to get done. Just put him first. That's what matters. So we can have these burdens, these groanings, and they can weigh on you. You know, when things go on day after day and year and week and month after month, you just, you think something's going to happen and you pray about it and it doesn't come about. And, you know, whether it's, again, your own life or someone else's. And you finally, sometimes you get to a point where you just don't even know how to pray. And you just like, Lord, I want to pray, but I don't know how to pray in this situation. I don't even know what to pray for, how to pray. I just want to look to you. And, you know, the Lord knows that. Let's, in Romans 8:26, tells us that we don't even know how to pray. Thankful we can pray in the Spirit. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that groaning, like I mentioned earlier in that other verse, that we're in this tabernacle, we groan. And has there been any groaning in your life this last year? There has in mine. You know, you groan for others. You groan for your own self. The things that you want, the things you're going through. And so here, when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit comes in with these groanings, and he makes intercession for us. He knows what's best for us. And so thankful we do have the Holy Spirit that we can pray, as I said, in the Spirit. We don't even, as we would speak out in tongues, not really know what we're saying, what we're praying, but we know that the Holy Spirit makes intercession and God hears us and he answers. Thank the Lord for that. But Paul said of his own life, he said, we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. And you can get that way when things get to weighing you down. You're just like, oh, this is life is hard. You know, Lord, when's it going to be over? When do I get to be with you? And, you know, but he's bringing us through things. He's got his timing. He knows what's right. But, you know, Elijah felt that way. And if you want to read the story sometime, you can in 1 Kings 19. But Elijah, he had the Lord had just enabled him to call down fire from heaven. And he destroyed the prophets of Baal. But then Jezebel threatened, she said, she's going to kill him. So he flew, he ran, he took off and went and sat under a juniper tree and just said, Lord, it's enough, just take my life. You ever feel like that, Lord? Lord, it's enough. I know we feel that way. Like, you know, we go through things that just can press us out of measure, like Paul said, and we just think, Lord, it's enough, can I just go be with you? Can this be over? But the Lord had something better for him. And then aren't you glad the Lord doesn't always answer those kind of prayers? You know, he knows that we're being pressed, but we're not going to be pressed too hard. He knows what we can take, and we need to look to him. But so he didn't answer that prayer, but he, what was his answer to him? He sent an angel. The angel of the Lord came to him with some cakes and water and told Elijah, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And I'm here to tell you, the journey's too great for you. It is. Yeah, amen, sister. She raised her hand. It's true. It's too great for us. The Lord has us here, and we need to realize it's too much for us to try to figure out in our own reasoning and whatever. And, you know, we're just dust, really. God made us out of dust, and you know, it's also, the Bible says, we're like water that's spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. I used to kid around with these guys that thought they were so strong. I'd take a cup of water and I'd pour it on the ground and say, pick that up. You can't do it. You can't do it, and that's our life. We can't be gathered up like that. That's how weak we are. You know, God says our strength is weakness. And our wisdom is foolishness. Our goodness is filthy rags. You know, and we're not sufficient in ourselves. We need him. But, you know, is anything hard for the Lord? No. Nothing's hard for him. You know, he made us. He knows what we are. He made us the way we are for a reason. So we would realize, if we have any sense, that we are incapable of doing these things ourselves. And it takes a while. Like I just mentioned, again, this burden this year where I would try to reason something out and say, well, if it could just work this way, or if I could throw some money at that thing, or if I could, you know, do this or that, it'll work out. And it doesn't. And it doesn't. You have to realize that we need the Lord. We can't do it. In fact, in Jesus, as a man, he even said, I can of mine own self do nothing. Now, that's amazing. You think about Jesus, the Son of God. He said, I of my own self can do nothing. And he totally depended upon his Father for everything and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he didn't even begin his ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said that. And then, you know what else he told us? He says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We need him for everything. There's nothing we can do. I know, and again, I'm still learning this. This sermon's just as much for me as anybody, I'll tell you that. It is, because you have these tendencies like, well, I'm going to try to figure this out. You know, I'm gonna lose sleep over this thing. Not that you want to, but you do. And you just have to wake up and pray, Lord, come in. So back to Elijah there, you know, he had that cake and water. So the cake he ate and the water he drank, that represents the word of God. You know, Jesus is the living bread. And we are told that we are washed by the water of his word. So it's the word of God that the Lord brought to him. And as in Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Praise the Lord. They sang about that. Rejoice, rejoice. And that's what it is, that the word of God is, you realize that, you know, you could be in a turmoil. You can have things going on that are out of your control. But the word of God, that brings hope to you and rejoicing and guidance. And you realize, you get your eyes off of yourself and off of the things around you and on the Lord and on his word. Rejoice. Hallelujah. The Lord's got it. This isn't something I'm going to try to be able to figure out, but he has it. And those words come to you, and the Lord will bring you scriptures that will encourage you just at the right time that you need it. It's like we know that he's the potter and we're the clay. You know, what can the clay do? Not much. Well, nothing. Exactly, nothing. We're his workmanship. His workmanship. You know, if I was in my shop making something and someone came over and said, here, let me take over for you and finish it up. I'd, no, wait a minute. This is my masterpiece I'm working on. Don't you come over here and try to take this out of my hands. This is mine. And that's how the Lord is. And we can't make our lives a masterpiece, but he can. Which is, you talk about grace and mercy, an amazing thing that the Lord can do. And you wouldn't, trying to figure it out and reason it out, how can that be? But you just have to believe it. Have to believe it. The good work he's begun, he will complete it. He'll perform it. He's begun it, he's going to finish it. And then he's faithful. We're not the faithful ones. We, you know, Jesus mentioned in the Gospels that you're faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. So we might be faithful in a few things, but he's the faithful one. We want to have faith in his faithfulness. And then he's able. We're not able, but nothing's impossible to God. He's able. And as we mentioned already earlier, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And, you know, everyone else might. You might say there's no hope for that person. They're a failure, whatever. But God knows our hearts, and we've seen that. You can think of back in other lives, testimonies here, and even maybe your own life, that times that you just said, that's it. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. But the Lord knows, and, you know, like Elijah, he doesn't say, no, you're not done yet. I've got more for you. And, you know, Elijah got translated. He wouldn't want to be missing that. We're looking for that. Translation. Hallelujah. So to know these things brings joy and rejoicing to our lives. And Jesus even told his disciples in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So the things he's spoken to him, his word. His word is what brings his joy in us. And his joy, you know, they couldn't take his joy away. He was facing the cross. He still had a joy. And the things we face, you know, they can really bring us down. But we can have an inner joy knowing that we're his. He loves us. He's taking care of us. We're in his hand. You know, there's nothing's going to separate us from him. We can have a joy and rejoicing in that. So now, you know, we could look forward with this confident expectation that the Lord made us. He loves us, and as we hopefully learn that more and more every day, how much he loves us, and he's going to do it. And there was an experience that my wife and I had here just a few weeks ago that has been an encouragement that I want to share with you. We were driving on a gravel mountain road And it was snowy and icy in places, and I was driving, came around a corner, and just slid right across the road, and actually two tires went off the road. And we both just started crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I can't explain it other than that the Lord just came by and just put his arm around that truck and brought it back on the road. And it was so amazing. And I'll tell you, but it spoke to our hearts so much. And then since then, there's been times that we've been faced with something like, Lord, this is out of control. there's danger. Someone could get hurt right here. I don't know what to do. And the Lord would just put, it's like you could see, just feel his arm around you. It's like, I got it. I'll get you right back on course here. And he does. And that was a scary experience, but I'll tell you what. The Lord, in a miraculous way, came in. And he'll do that for you. You just cry out to him in Jesus' name. And you might, that wasn't a long prayer. It was just Jesus, Jesus. You don't have to make a long prayer. Think about it. You just call out to him. He hears it. He's right there. He's with us. So, oh, take encouragement there. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12. And Ty spent some time on these verses, but we'll read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. We're looking to Jesus. And we have these witnesses that are there, the cloud of witnesses referring to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I'll tell you what, just read the book. There's a lot more. There's a lot more lives than that you can take encouragement from. That people that believed God and he came in for them. And they were not sufficient for whatever they were going through. And the Lord enabled them. Glory to God, not to the individual, not to the vessel, but to glory to God for what he can do with us. And just by believing him, by having faith, and he gives us that faith from hearing the word of God. That's how we get that faith. Again, looking at these lives that have gone through things and seeing what the Lord's done gives us that encouragement to go on. So Jesus endured the cross for a joy that was set before him, and that's that he would have a wife. And, we have a cross too. Jesus said that if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me and deny himself. So we have a cross too. We have a camel to ride. I'll say it that way. And so we've got things to go through. So, this life isn't going to be a bunch of roses and whatever. The happy-go-lucky things that we go through. We do have joyful times, of course, but there's going to be trials, and there's going to be a cross to bear. There's going to be a camel to ride, but we know as Jesus had that joy set before him, he could endure the cross. He could endure that. We can endure the things we're going through too, because we have a joy before us. We have joy right now in believing, in knowing his word, and there's many things we can rejoice when. We can rejoice in seeing how Christ is growing up in one another, and to see, like, new ones would come into the meeting and lay a hold to the things of God, and we just rejoice in that. It's such an encouragement to us to come week after week and see people that are here faithfully, and what an encouragement. We rejoice in that, the work that the Lord's doing. But also if you've been coming to the meetings or listening to the sermons and Bible studies, realizing how much the Lord loves you, how much you know he loves you, but then you find out he loves you so much more. He desires us. He's like that wild roe in love. He wants to be with us. He prayed his Father, I pray that those that you've given me would be with me. And, you know, he's going to come get us soon. But we just want to have joy in that. We are running this race, as we read here. Run this race with patience. We're running the race to win the prize, and that's Christ as bridegroom. That's the prize we're running for. So, but there's also a joy that's set before us that we can look forward to. And that's as they sang that today, seeing Jesus face to face. Face to face. Hallelujah. That's something to look forward to. And then as we open with the verses, we're going to have glorified bodies, fashioned like unto his glorious body. And there's different glories, though, I want you to know. Beware of, not everyone's going to have the same glory. The Bible talks about a sun glory, a moon glory, the stars, glory of the stars. They're different. But we want that that sun glory. We want to have the glory like unto his glory. And we can be glorified together with him. That's what in Romans 8, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together with him. That's to glorify to the same point as him. But it takes the suffering that we're going through at this time. But rejoice. The Lord is working these things out. He went through a time of suffering, and if we're going to rule and reign with him, we've got to suffer with him first. But we've got so much to look forward to this year. And really, we believe the Lord's coming. He could come today. We're not limiting that this year is going to be for sure ended before he comes. He can come at any moment. And we want to be ready. And by his grace, he's getting us ready. By his grace and mercy. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you to just continue to trust the Lord. Deny self. That means, you know, don't trust in your own wisdom to figure things out. Don't trust in your abilities, your goodness, whatever. Trust the Lord. He'll do it. He will get it done. Praise the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word and how it gives us the encouragement we need, Lord, to go on and to run this race and be looking up, loving Jesus appearing. We just pray, Lord, for the needs in every life here, you know. And Lord, there's some deep needs, but you're well able, Lord. Nothing's hard for you. And we trust you to come in these situations. We want you to be glorified in them, Lord. We want your will in our lives. And we just thank you again for your faithfulness, your tender mercies, your grace and love. Glory to God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.